Well, good evening, church. It's good to see you tonight. How was the warmer temperatures today? Or shall I put the quotation marks over warmer? It was nice. It was nice. Still a little chilly, silly side, but you know what I love best about winter? When it's gone, when it's over. She figured it out. I love summer, just so you know, but Justin don't, but I love summer. I love warm, and it's going to be warm in heaven. Well, tonight we're going to go back to our series in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to start in chapter 12 tonight on understanding and using your spiritual gift. And this is probably going to spread out over a couple of messages, maybe three, but we're going to kind of get into it tonight. And just as a reminder, our series, Living as the Lord's Church in a Lewd Culture. And, you know, I'm really thankful for this series and for this book, and because it's so relevant, it's so practical, and it's been good to me, and or for me. And actually, I'm thankful that this church had a lot of problems, because Paul wouldn't have wrote this letter. We wouldn't have 1 Corinthians if they didn't have all the problems. And so we got a tremendous letter in our Bible that's inspired of God just because of this church. And so that's an example of God taking something bad and turning it for good. Just like the message Sunday. I mean, things don't always go as planned, but, you know, God's able to overrule those things. And I'm thankful for that. So we're going to read the first seven verses and pray. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now concerning this, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man who profit withal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for giving us a nice day, and we're thankful that we could assemble tonight in your house and be able to sing some of these songs of worship. And it's good to be reminded that it's yet not I, but Christ through me and who lives in me. And we're thankful for that truth, that every day we can experience Christ living through us. And Lord, you want to pour through our lives into other people and to minister to other people, not just in our church, but outside of our church. And one of the ways that you've equipped us to do that is you've given us a spiritual gift. Given every person here tonight a spiritual gift to be able to have the supernatural enabling to minister to others by the Spirit and by Christ living in us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that truth. We thank you for the reading of your word. And we ask that you would bless this time together. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start off and give you the theme right off. The theme that we're going to be looking at tonight. And that is this: living as the Lord's church requires understanding and using your spiritual gift for the edification of others. And I'm going to try to prove that tonight in the scripture. because that's a bold statement to say that you must understand and use your spiritual gift to live as the Lord's church, or we must understand and use our spiritual gift for the edification of others if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be. If we want to be the church that's going to make a difference and grow spiritually. Now, I know that some of you tonight are going to think that this message is a shameless plug for our spiritual gifts class. And I'm not going to deny it, but I will say this. Stop and think about God's providence in landing us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. And this series was started over a year ago. January. Actually, I started last week, I believe, as an introduction, last week of December 2022. Officially started January 2023. So we're a little over a year away. And in God's providence, here we are in the subject of spiritual gifts. And so don't miss that, because, you know, God, He knows what we need. He's good and wise. He knows what we need and the time that we need it. And so it wasn't accidental. It was providential, and how that God's worked it out for that. And so if you haven't heard, there are going to be some classes on Saturday from 9:30 till 12:30. And it's going to start on February 3rd. And go through May 25th. There may be a Saturday or two that off. Is that correct? And so, but for the most part, it's going to be every Saturday in that time frame. It's a big commitment, but I want to just say to you that it'll be a huge blessing to you. And I hope tonight to help you in making that decision to invest in learning about your gift and how to use it, and learning about other people's gift. You know, even if you did know your gift or not, you need to know all the gifts. You need to know how to minister to those with different gifts, and so we can minister to each other together in unity and be able to edify one another in the church. And I think it'll be a huge, huge help if you do. Did I tell you I love summer? I just thought I'd lighten it up just a little bit, because we're going to get into this. So spiritual gifts, I just want to say it was a very hot topic at the church in Corinth. Paul devotes three chapters to the subject, pretty much. And chapters 12, 13, and 14, 71 verses to be exact. So out of all the problems that the church had at Corinth, this one gets the most treatment, the most verses, the most instruction. And one of the main reasons for this lengthy instruction on the spiritual gifts is twofold. And I want to share that with you in two bullet points. And so the first one is this: the spiritual gifts are of vital importance to the health and growth of the church. So that's one of the reasons why so much time is devoted to the gifts here in this letter, 1 Corinthians, because of the importance. It's so important to the health and growth of the church. But the second thought is that the spiritual gifts are a topic that so many Christians are ignorant about. And I don't apologize for using that term, because it is in the Bible. As we read in verse 1, and Paul said, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And I don't know if you are aware, but this word ignorant is translated from the Greek word agneo, which is where we get the word agnostic. Now, it means not to know, not to understand. That's the simple meaning of this term, ignorant. Paul said, "I don't want you to be not in the know about the spiritual gifts. I want you to know and understand the gifts." And that's basically what he's saying. And I was going through some of our notes that we got from Brother Bennett when we did a retreat on the spiritual gifts, and I want to ask some of the questions that he asked in his notes, and I thought they were good questions. He asked us, he said, is it really important that we understand the subject of spiritual gifts? Many of us have done fine without knowing much about it up until now, haven't we? And our church has gotten by okay without it. Why, pray tell, do we need to study spiritual gifts? And the reason why I wanted to share that, because I believe that's probably what some people are thinking. They're thinking, well, I've been in church all my life, but I don't know much about spiritual gifts, hadn't heard much teaching or preaching on it, and I think I've done fine. And so, is it really important that we know? Well, my answer to those questions is, if you only knew, you would definitely understand why they are so important to understand and use. And ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the spiritual gifts. It's not bliss. It does not pay to be ignorant about these. I mean, when you begin to learn about the gifts and the characteristics of the different ones, and I'm telling you, it will change your life and how you interact in your relationships with everybody, not just your church family, but with your family, with your co-workers and so on. It will change how you see people. It will, you know, help you understand yourself. A lot of Christians, they are condemning themselves, thinking that I'm really nothing. I can't be of any use in the church to the Lord because, you know, I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't teach. And so people think that the best job that they have is just to warm a pew. Well, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us different. The Bible teaches that you have been supernaturally gifted by the grace of God with a gift. And that gift has been given for you to use and minister to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, besides that, you know, there are four gift passages in the Word of God, and we're talking about the inspired Word of God. Four gift passages, and I'll put them up on the screen for you. You can write them down, but we have the passage here in 1 Corinthians 12, actually extend into chapter 14. This is one of them. And then there's Romans 12, verses 3-8. And then there's a passage that in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And then there's 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. We're going to reference some of those tonight, read some of them in just a moment. But so what I'm saying is that there's several passages that refer to or relate to the spiritual gifts. And so it's not just here in 1 Corinthians. And so we should want to study it. We should want to know about it because it's in the Word of God. It's something that's important. God put it in the Word for us to know. And whether you realize it or not, God wants you to know. I don't know if you realize that, but God wants you to know. He wants you to know what your gift is, and He wants you to use your gift to minister to others. And I go back to verse 1, and we read in 1 Corinthians 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." There it is. I mean, God wants you to know. He don't want you to be ignorant about this. He wants you to understand the spiritual gifts and how to use them. I want to go to the passage now in 1 Peter in chapter 4. If you'll turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 10, Peter said, "As every man hath received the gift." Now notice it's in singular. And he says, "Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So I want you to notice this. He's referring to the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. He said, "As every man had received the gift, He said, so minister the same, using that same gift, minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So notice that God gives us the ability to use these gifts. And that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so I think you can look from just these verses we read that God wants you to know your gift and He wants you to use it. Because obviously, how are you going to use it if you don't know it? How are you going to use it if you don't understand it? I mean, it's really not possible, is it? If you don't know what it is and you don't know what someone else is, it's going to be hard for you to really relate effectively to that person and minister to that person. And so you can see here that basically the gifts are broken down into two categories: speaking gifts and serving gifts, or you could call it leadership gifts and follower gifts. And I'm not really going to detail tonight with that, but if you want to know, we got a class starting February 3rd. And it's going to go in great detail and depth in answering a lot of those questions you might have. But my purpose tonight is just to help you understand that God wants you to know and He wants you to use your gift here in the church. I want to share a couple of quotes now. The first one is by the late Dr. Howard Hendricks. He's a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. And I had the privilege of hearing him on a, not in person, but on a video series at Bible College on the gifts, the seven laws of the teacher. Absolutely amazing. And I'm telling you, this guy is a tremendous teacher, or was. He's now with the Lord. But this is what he said. If you don't know what your gift is, and if you are not using it to serve the body of Christ, you are crippling your spiritual life. I mean, that's pretty forward, straightforward, but it's the truth. It's the truth. If you don't know what your gift is and if you're not using it, you're crippling your spiritual life. I wonder how many spiritual cripples we have today. Did I tell you I like summer? This is softening the rough edge there. That's pretty pointed. I said that about the cripples. But now let's go to the second quote. This is another one. It's really good, by Jim Steele, quoted from Biblical Intensives. He said, "If you are not using your gift, you are hurting me. You are hurting and hindering the person next to you. You are hurting your family. You are hurting and hindering the body of Christ." Now I want you to just look at the person next to you. Just look to the person on both sides. I want you to think about this, what he said. If you are not using your gift, your spiritual gift, you're hurting that person sitting next to you. You're hurting your people. You're hurting your family. You're hurting your church. And as we said in the previous quote, or saw in the previous quote, you're hurting yourself spiritually. And so I share those quotes because I want you to see how important it really is. Some people just can brush it off. Oh, it's not all that important. It is important. That's why Paul wrote it. It's important. It's vital to the spiritual growth of the church. And it's something that God does not want us to be ignorant of. And it's sad today. It's really sad that for the most part, and I'm not just talking among Baptists in our circles, but all across the board, for the most part, Christians that know Christ as their Savior are ignorant about spiritual gifts. And including the charismatics, by the way. Including those that claim to know about the spiritual gifts. They're also ignorant about it. I want to just share an illustration that would kind of reinforce what we've said so far. So just imagine you have a birthday party for somebody in your family that's very important to you. It could be a spouse, it could be a child. But I want you to just imagine somebody that's very important to you, and you buy them a gift, a very special gift. And you know this person well, you know what they like, and you just can't wait for them to open it, to see their surprise. And you all know the joy of that when you buy a gift and you just, you're excited about to see how the person responds. And so just imagine you give this person the gift, and they take that gift and they set it to the side and they said, well, I'll open it tomorrow. That's kind of a letdown, isn't it? Now let's suppose that tomorrow comes and you call them up or you talk to them, you say, hey, what did you think of that gift? Oh, I forgot all about it. I forgot it was even there. And then imagine, even worse than that, years pass. The person passes away and you're looking through your storage in the closet. And there's that gift. It's never been opened. Just imagine how hurt you would feel just to know that that person did not ever open that special gift that you got for them to open and to use it. It was something that they could have used that would have benefited their life and benefited other people's lives, but they never opened it. Givers intend for gifts to be opened. God has given us, the Holy Spirit has given us a gift, and sadly, many Christians have not opened it. If they had, they're not using it. Can you imagine God the Holy Spirit, how He must feel seeing that His gifts unused, unopened? Just imagine how God feels. You know, using Paul's analogy in this chapter, as we get into it later next week and maybe the week after, he talks about the church as the body. He talks about there's many members in the body that have different functions in the body, but yet we're one body. The members of the body have to work in unity, right? I mean, One of the emphasis we saw in verses 5, 6, and 7, the verses we read, you'll notice it said the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. You see the Trinity here, and we're going to get into that in a minute, but just that word same is emphasized three times. And before the word same is diversities, differences, diversities. Do you get what he's saying? He's saying that here in the church, there's diversities of gifts. There's, but yet, the same God, same Lord, same Spirit. And so these gifts are important. So he talks about the body. And without dispute, Christ is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. But the body has these different parts, and each of us are one of those parts, just in the analogy here. I mean, it's not to be taken literally. It's a spiritual analogy to help us understand how we relate to one another using our gifts. So I want you to just think with me, just for a moment. So Christ is the head, but who is the nose? Who is the ears? Who is the eyes? Who's the mouth? Who's the feet? Imagine if you are the hands in the body of Christ, and you don't know you're the hands. You think you're the feet. And you're trying to be the feet when you're the hands. Now, it's kind of hard to walk into church on your hands. I've seen people walk on their hands. It's possible, right? But imagine how hard it would be. Just everywhere you go, you're walking on your hands. It's not going to be fun, is it? It's not going to be effective, is it? And so just imagine, if you don't know what your gift is, maybe you're serving in the area of a church that you're really not gifted for, and you're miserable, you're not happy, you're doing it because, well, you want to be a good Christian, you want to serve your church, but it's not giving you joy. It might be because you don't know your gift and you're not in the place that you can best use your gift. And so I share that as another illustration of how important it is for us to understand our gift and to use our gift. Now, as we come to this letter, this church at Corinth, Paul writes this letter. This church was not only ignorant of the spiritual gifts, they were carnal in their use of the gifts. They were treating some of the manifestations of the Spirit. They're not spiritual gifts. Like, let me give you an example. Speaking in tongues is not a spiritual gift. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. I'll explain a little bit later, but I'm sure I'm not gonna satisfy your questions you may have, and because I don't want to, because if I do, we're going to be here till midnight. I mean, Brother Justin's going to have 14 weeks or something like that, 16 weeks to teach on this. I have 30 minutes, so I have to be selective, all right? But what I'm saying is that they were looking at the speaking in tongues as the gift of gifts, the gift that everyone should strive for, everyone should seek to have. That shows their ignorance. It's not a spiritual gift, number one. And number two, not everyone had the manifestation of the Spirit in speaking in tongues. And they were ignoring all the gifts of the Spirit that He gave, but they were using that for self-gratification and self-glorification. So I'm saying that they were carnally minded. And because of their carnality, there was division over the use of some of these so-called gifts. Their carnal minds led them to these showy displays of spirituality that was disrupting the church's worship. It was dividing the church's fellowship, and it was demeaning the witness of the gospel. And that's why Paul had to write this. Because of their ignorance of the spiritual gifts, it was hurting their church. So, if we don't know, we may be hurting our church too. I'll put this up on the board. Church at Corinth was exercising the gifts of the Spirit, but they were not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. And I say that because knowing and using your spiritual gift does not mean you're spiritual. It does not mean you're spiritually mature. You can use your gift of the Spirit in the flesh. You can use it in the Spirit. You can use your gift as an immature Christian, or you can use it as a mature Christian. And believe me, it makes a difference. And you will know the difference. So there's a lot to it. I mean, there's knowing your gift, knowing how to use it, and walking in the Spirit so that you're using it in the right way. Because if you use your gift in a carnal way, it's not going to contribute to the spiritual growth of the church. It's not going to help you either. So that's what Paul's writing here. He's like trying to help this church. Now, I'm going to dive into these seven verses, and we're not going to get to go very deep, but because our time is going to run out, but we got to get there. So we're going to move past our introduction now. I hope that I laid that burden on you of how important it is to know your gift and to use your gift. So we're going to go to this first point tonight. We're just looking at two points tonight. The first one is discerning the spirits in verses 1 through 3. Discerning the spirits. And I want you to notice verse 1 once again. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now I want you to know, I'm assuming everyone here tonight has a King James Bible because that's what we use, but it's okay if you have a different one, that's okay. But here in the King James Bible, you'll notice gifts is italicized. Do you notice that? Do you notice it's italicized? Now, why is it italicized? Do you know why it's italicized? Maybe you know. If you don't, here's why it's italicized. Anytime you read in the King James Bible and you see an italicized word, it's the translators honestly are being honest that word is not in the original manuscripts that they were translating from. But it was added for clarification. Do you understand that? You're going to find there's a lot of words like that in the Bible. And so, literally, the manuscripts would read, now concerning, it would actually say the spirituals, because it does have a definite article and it is in the plural, so it would say, now concerning the spirituals. That's how it would literally read. And I'm not saying that they translated wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to point out something. Because what did Paul originally intend? That's what we want, right? Now, when you look at this chapter and the next two chapters, the spiritual gifts was one of the main subjects. So I think they were justified in adding that word. However, when I see verses 2 and 3, I want to say that Paul did not limit what he's talking about here just to the gifts. He's talking about the spirituals. Here's a carnal church. They were living in carnality. Now he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spirituals. You know about the fleshly, but I want to teach you about the spirituals. And so, look at verse 2. Ye know that you are Gentiles. He's talking past tense. You were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So I want you to understand that, you know, these Corinthians, they were at one time idol worshippers. As Gentiles, they worship idols, and by doing that, they were enslaved by evil spirits. If you don't know what evil spirits is, I'll just say it's demonic spirits. It's devils. They were worshiping devils through these idols. And so there were supernatural manifestations in that spirit world. Listen, these supernatural manifestations and these supernatural utterances, they're not limited to Christianity. It's in all over. It's in Hinduism, Buddhism, and Muslims, and animism and spiritism. These demons speak and manifest supernaturally, and they experience that. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. You know, you were this. You know what he's saying? You need some knowledge and discernment to be able to discern between the voice of evil spirits and the voice of the Holy Spirit. The activity of evil spirits and the activity of the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 3 he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that by Jesus, or say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I want to just point out something that I was thinking about when I was reading that here in Corinthians and the first few chapters, we read that there were divisions, there was strife in the church, there was contentions. Now, I want you to think about that in light of what James says in chapter 3. Go to James 3. James chapter 3. We're going to have to hurry. I want you to look at James chapter 3 and go to verse number 13. We'll start in verse 13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, notice this, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So, I want you to think about this. Evil spirits were controlling these Christians. Is that shocking? Wake up. Evil spirits can influence and control Christians today. They can't possess us because we have the Holy Spirit living in, but they can influence, they can deceive. I mean, one of the biggest descriptions of Satan is that he's a deceiver, he's a liar. And these Christians, because they were ignorant of the spirituals, they were being deceived with lies by Satan. And there was division, there was contention, there was envy, there was strife. And it says here in James, it's the work of the devil. Now the work of the Spirit, he goes on, verse 17 in James. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see the difference? You know, we need to be able to discern the difference. And so what I'm saying in this first point tonight, in these first three verses, is Paul is wanting them to understand to discern the spirits. So Paul's not just talking about spiritual gifts, he's also talking about the spirits and the spirituals. Because there are evil spirits out there. And I'm gonna just conclude this before we go to the next point, that demons are in control whenever Jesus is not Lord and the Holy Spirit is not in control. Because it says that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So where Jesus is not Lord, evil spirits can be working and be controlling. Please understand that. I don't know about you, I want the Holy Spirit to control my life. I don't want Satan to have any control. You know, Ephesians, Paul said, neither give place to the devil. What does that mean? Giving him place means giving him influence, giving him control. And he can get control, Paul talking there in Ephesians 4, about anger and bitterness and all those things. So Satan, I mean, more than we realize it than not, Satan has his hand in our lives, working through lies. But I can't go there. We got to move on. We got to move on to the next point. Second point is discerning the spiritual gifts. Verses 4 through 7 is all we're going to cover tonight. We're going to go through it quickly as possible. And I want you to notice, if you didn't notice already, in verses 4, 5, and 6, the Trinity. You'll notice the Trinity, because in verse 4, it speaks of the same Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord, speaking about the Lord Jesus. And then verse 6, the same God, speaking of God the Father. So you see the Trinity. And the Trinity is always working in unity, though they have diverse functions. You know, even in salvation. I mean, I want you to stop and think about this. God the Father gave the Son for our salvation. God the Son gave the Holy Spirit for our sanctification. God the Holy Spirit gave us spiritual gifts for our service. I mean, they all have different functions. And, you know, you could look at many different ways. I mean, they have different functions. But it's interesting to see that. I want you to see that because verse 4, 5, and 6 are talking about different functions by the same God different members of the Trinity, of course. And so, in verse number 4, let's look at that one first. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, this is the gifts of the Spirit. So, this is the sub-point here under discerning the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. This is talking about the spiritual gifts right here in verse number 4. The Holy Spirit gives the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. The word gifts here is from charisma. And that means a spiritual endowment, a gift of divine grace. And so, the Spirit gives us an endowment. He gives us an enabling to minister supernaturally in the body of Christ. And he said there are diversities of gifts. So there's more than one, right? And through a lot of study and comparing Scripture to Scripture, you're going to come to the conclusion that Romans 12, we're going to go there. I put that as a reference on this point. Romans 12 gives us the gifts of the Spirit. And there are seven. There are seven spiritual gifts. So I want you to go there just real quickly in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing. Remember, it said diversities of gifts? Gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So there are seven mentioned here. Now, if you decide to put your name on that sign-up sheet and get on the gifts list, or the gifts class, you will learn that these seven gifts meet seven needs that are found in every church. Each gift meets one need. There are seven gifts and there are seven needs in the church. And you say, Pastor, you mean you can break it down to seven? Yes. Yes, you can. And just a little hint, there are spiritual needs. There are physical needs. There are doctrinal needs. There are motivational needs. Financial needs. Administrative needs. Emotional needs. Each one of those gifts will meet one of those needs in the church. And so if someone is gifted particularly, specifically by the Holy Spirit to meet this, let's say the emotional need, but they don't know and they don't understand it, they're going to be miserable. And they're not going to be able to minister to someone that's hurting emotionally. They're not going to be able to bring them comfort. You know, I'm not spiritually equipped to meet the emotional need, though I can, as a Christian man and the Holy Spirit living in me, I can come alongside someone to encourage them, to help them, and try to console them, but not like a person that's specifically gifted to do that. It's like if I go to the hospital, you know, it'd be good for me to take that person because that person can really minister much better than I can. And you know, I'm just giving you an example, and I'm not giving you all the answers. I'm just giving you an example of how important it is, because how powerful it is. And for me to understand that I don't have to meet that need because God didn't equip me to meet that need. He did tell me that I need to show mercy. He did tell me I need to pray for people. I need to love them. And I do those things, but I'm glad that I don't have to condemn myself because I can't help that person, like, say, somebody that's gifted to show mercy and meet that emotional need. And so that's just to kind of help you to see that each one of these seven gifts meet every need in the local church. And God gives a church, He gives people in the church to meet those needs. And with each one of these seven gifts listed here, there's an exhortation to use that gift. Every one of them. Whether prophecy, if you got the gift of prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. So, remember I mentioned earlier in 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, these seven gifts are divided into speaking and serving gifts. And again, if you want to know what those are, go to the gift class, because that's where we'll have time to go down and show you in Scripture what that entails and how these are broken down. And really, it's really easy. It makes it easier to find your gift when you realize, well, I'm not a leader. I'm more of a follower. Well, it kind of eliminates some of the gifts, because some of the gifts are leadership gifts. Some of the gifts are follower gifts. And so it's pretty neat how it works. And it's real consistent throughout. There's no mistakes in it. It's consistent. Though people have different personalities, different backgrounds, and they, you know, have different ways in serving the Lord, these gifts come out. They come out. When you understand them and know them, you can pick them out just like that. And I love that I'll have missionaries come through, and I'll ask them a lot of questions, and I'll try to just get to know, because I want to know what their gift is. I want to know, you know, I'm just curious how God's going to use them and their gift, where they're going. And but anyway, I got to move on. So, I want to say this before we move on to the administration of the Lord. It's the overriding purpose of the spiritual gifts to provide permanent motivational gifts to individual believers that can be used for the sake of ministering regularly to the local church and others outside the body. So, I give that there, that purpose for the spiritual gifts. This is the purpose. It's a permanent motivational gift. And so these seven are given by the Spirit of God. You have one of them. You don't have two. You don't have three. You don't have half one, half another. You have one. I guarantee you only have one. And this is eye-opening. I didn't always believe that. But when I learned about the gifts and learned what the Scripture teaches, and I'm absolutely 100% convinced and dogmatic about it. I'm not, there's not any doubt in my mind that you have one spiritual gift that God has given you. And no doubt about it. And it's a motivational gift. And when you understand that gift and you know that gift, listen, it brings you joy to use that gift. It motivates you to use that gift. And it frees you like you never would know before. So let's go to the administration of the Lord, verse 5. We're going to have to move quick. So verse 5, going back to 1 Corinthians 12. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, this word administration speaks of the act of administering or the conducting of any office. And that should give us some kind of key as to what he's talking about here. The Lord Jesus does not give spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit does. Verse 4. What does Jesus give? What does the Scripture teach us that Jesus gives? It has to do with offices. It has to do with the administration or conducting an office. We'll go to Ephesians 4. That passage that we gave you, one of the gift passages. Ephesians 4, in verse 11. It says, and he gave some. Now he, going back in context, who's he talking about? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So Jesus gave, he didn't give spiritual gifts, but he gave men to the church. He gave offices to the church, people that would serve in an office. So these are not spiritual gifts, but gifts to the church by Jesus Christ. He gives the church pastors and teachers. Now, we know that in the strict sense of the word, there's not prophets and apostles today. There is the spiritual gift of prophet that's still today. And I'm sure that's going to cause you some questions and make you want to go to this class to find out what that is. But there is a spiritual gift today. There are prophets today in our church and in every church. There are people that are gifted to be a prophet. They have a certain mindset. They meet a certain need in the church. Now, they're not a prophet in the sense that they're going to give us new revelation. We don't believe that. We have the complete written Word of God. So just to settle your mind on that. But these verse 5, that's what it's speaking of. There's differences of administration. And let's look at that purpose. The overriding purpose of the administrations of the Lord is to provide leadership to the local body of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which He is the head. So you see the difference here. So there's the gifts, diversity of gifts, differences of administration. Now come to verse 6, the operations of God. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So operations, what is that? It speaks of activities. It speaks of opportunities that are administered by God the Father. And I want to go ahead and give you the purpose, and then I'll give you an example. The overriding purpose of the operations of God is to provide temporary, now that's a key word, temporary, yet powerful ministry assignments for the purpose of establishing the Word of God solidly in the Church of Jesus Christ during the foundational apostolic beginning of that church. So this is the God the Father gave some temporary ministry assignments to help establish. And so where's the example of that? Go to the end of chapter 12 in verse 28. And God, it doesn't say in Jesus, it doesn't say in the Spirit, it says in God, speaking of the Father, had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, healths, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. So this is an example of some of the operations of God. These are temporary gifts, and they were given for the foundation of the church. And so that's what he's talking about here. Operations are actions. It's opportunities or activities of God the Father. There's 8 listed here. Now, here's where the confusion sets today. In spiritual gift classes that are all out there, they take all of these that are found here. They take the Ephesians and they take the Romans and they mix them all together. And they say, you're one of these. But not all these passages are the spiritual gifts. I want you to understand that. The only spiritual that we could technically call spiritual gifts are Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And so you have the operations of God, and then you also, as I said, you have the administrations of the Lord. Now, we're going to come to this last point, in verse 6 and 7. Verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And I wish we had time, but we'd probably come back on this next week, because he talks about a lot of things right after that, up to verse 11. But the manifestation is an exhibition. It's a display of the Spirit's power or presence. And there are nine things listed in verse 8 through verse 10. There's 9 things. So some people will take these 9, then mix with the 8 at the end of the chapter, and then mix with the 4 in Ephesians, then mix with the 7 in Romans. And there's so much confusion, and nobody knows what. But here Paul's laying it out for us. There's differences. He's not saying, now there are similarities of gifts. Now there are similarities of ministration, similarities of operation. No, he's saying there's diversities. And these are all different things. Verse 4, 5, and 6 are all different things. You can't put them and make them mean the same thing. They're different. And so verse 7 was talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. I want to give you the overriding purpose of it. Is to bless the usage of the 3 major subgroups that we just looked at of the spirituals with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit being manifested through both the individual and corporate body for the advancement of the gospel, the edification of Christ's body, and the glory of God. Now, These purposes I've given for each one of these, I credit David Bennett for those. That's not my words. Those are his. And so I do give him the credit for that. But the outline is mine. But I've taken a lot from him as far as quotes and so on. But anyway, so I just want you to understand that when it talks about manifestation of the Spirit, some of these could be temporary, some of these could be permanent things, but it's basically these things that you're reading here about, to some are given faith by the same Spirit, some the word of knowledge, some the word of wisdom, some the gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, different things. These are just manifestations of the Spirit. These are not spiritual gifts. And they were given to demonstrate the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And especially during that transitional time before the Word of God was completed, there are manifestations of the Spirit. Now, we don't see that as much today, but in some places, some countries, there is some manifestations where we don't typically see here. I don't believe in tongues or anything like that, but I'm talking about in healings, and there's sometimes God doing just miraculous things in some of these different fields of the world. Talking to our missionaries in some of the Islamic countries, I mean, people having these dreams of Jesus, and then they're led by this dream to get a Bible. They read the Bible, they learn about Jesus, the gospel, they get saved. Now, nobody went and gave them the gospel. Nobody went and gave them a gospel tract. Nobody sat down with them and shared the gospel. It was through a dream. There's tons of them out there, stories, and they're just manifestations of the Spirit. For the advancement of the gospel, edification of the body of Christ, the glory of God. Well, we covered it pretty quickly. And so we're going to kind of just land this plane and with a little conclusion. And we'll come back next week and try to pick up a little bit and move forward in the rest of the chapter. But I just want to say in conclusion, we should not remain ignorant concerning the spirituals. And the spirituals include spiritual gifts. But also include some of these other things that we talked about, discerning the spirits. We should not be ignorant. We should know and understand there's dangers in being ignorant about these matters. And we should also remember that demons can control Christians where Jesus is not Lord and the Holy Spirit is not in control. He can control us through lies. And so we need to be aware of these things. We need to understand these things. We should remember that the Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus. Always. If anybody is manifesting some kind of spiritual gift in the church, but they're bringing attention to themselves, listen, it's not the Spirit of God working in them. It's another spirit. Because the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. And we need to remember that and understand that. Well, we're going to close in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this time. There's a lot of information that was shared tonight, and I know there's a lot to take in. But my desire, Lord, is just to help our church to see how important it is to understand our spiritual gift and how to use it effectively in the church and ministering to others. And I'm thankful for the teaching and the help that we've been given. Brother Bennett studying this subject for over 30 years and researching and men that you brought into his life to help him. And Lord, we've been passed on that truth, and it's been life-changing, amazing. And Lord, you've led us to open up this to our church family and anyone that would want to learn more about it. And it's definitely a time commitment involved, but Lord, we can see in the scriptures tonight how important it is not to be ignorant of these things, to have an understanding, to grow and to learn, that we might be able to relate to one another in a way that pleases you, and that we would understand one another better. Understand that not everybody has to be like me. But Lord, we do not have the same office. We have different places, but yet we have the same Spirit living inside of us. The Spirit which brings us together in unity. The Spirit which points us to Jesus. The Spirit which pours the love of Christ through our hearts and ministering one to another. The Spirit that enables and empowers us by grace to use a gift, that a supernatural gift, to minister to people, to accomplish your will and your purpose, to edify, to strengthen, to grow one another. Lord, I thank you for the gifts that you've given to our church, the different gifts, the different people, and how you use different people to meet different needs. Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for how you work. Even sometimes when people do not even fully understand their gift, they're using it even without even knowing. But it would be so much better for them to understand and to know and understand others. And so, Lord, we're praying that this class that we'll be having, Lord, that you would use it and bring the right people that you want to this class, to use it to help our church to better relate to one another, to better serve you, to better be the church that you called us to be. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for all that you've done. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll keep